this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is Dr. Brian Jundeff, and let's talk about Title IX and transgenders. Last week, President Biden, through his Department of Education, released new guidelines for Title IX. This is a 1972 civil rights law that prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in any educational program. This includes elementary school, secondary, post-secondary, college, basically any education program that receives federal money. And most schools do. There are very few high schools, colleges that take no federal money. Hillsdale College in Michigan is one such school. So now sex is defined as gender identity. Sex, as you know, is biologic. It's what you see when you pull down your pants and look in the mirror. You're a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. Sex is also hormonal. If you're a male, you have an XY chromosome. If you're female, you have two X chromosomes. It's pretty straightforward, and it's not how you identify. But this change in Title IX has redefined sex as gender identity. And what this does is protect the rights of trans women, in other words, males who identify as women, allowing them to enter female-only spaces and join female-only organizations, in other words, sports. You've heard stories about trans women entering women-only locker rooms, taking off their clothes in front of women, being around naked women, totally inappropriate. And also participating in sports. And I'll talk more about the sports aspect in a little bit. But this allows trans women who are basically biologic males to participate in sports and have an unfair advantage over women. In addition, accusations of sexual assault against male students or faculty members can now be adjudicated by bureaucrats at these schools with no regard to due process of law or protections for the accused. Sounds like everyone will be treated like Donald Trump has been treated by the government and all the lawfare against him. So specifically, what does this mean? Under this new law or revision of the law, any male claiming to be a female will be permitted to enter girls' and women's bathrooms and locker rooms and to participate on women's sports. Any female who objects to this, having a male on a team or sharing a shower or locker room with a male, feeling uncomfortable, will now be faced not only with the social stigma, but potential legal repercussions for her school, her team, organization. Again, highly inappropriate. Can you imagine allowing your wife or daughter to have to share a locker room with men? That's what it's about. And if you complain, you're the one that gets into trouble. And we saw that at a recent fitness center chain where the woman who complained about a man in the woman's locker room was kicked out of the fitness club. Totally inappropriate. But this is the new world. This is Joe Biden's America, and this is where we're at. This is claimed to support the right of transgenders to participate in life as the new gender they identify as. And again, you can't change biology. This is magical thinking that you can be a man, claim to be a woman, and have all the rights, privileges, and opportunities that a woman has. And if a woman complains about it, she's the bad guy, or bad girl, I should say. What is this going to do to women's sports? How can women compete on an even playing field? The problem is they can't. And we will talk about that later in the show. about what happens when men identifying as women compete as women? The simple answer is they beat them and beat them badly. There's a huge difference between males and females in terms of strength, power, endurance, and other aspects that play heavily into sports. Not to mention just the social aspects of allowing men into women's locker rooms or boys into girls' locker rooms. There'll be harassment, there'll be rape, sexual abuse, etc. And the women who complain about it, they're the ones on thin ground legally. Under these new guidelines, the colleges and other organizations can have kangaroo courts and they can accuse the women of being discriminating, and it'll be the accuser that ends up being on trial, not the accused, not the man who doesn't belong in the locker room or in the sporting event. Shameful. This is setting women's rights back decades. This is something that the framers of Title IX never envisioned. It was to equalize the playing field and allow women to have sport opportunities similar to men. And now it's just demeaning of women, and we don't hear anything from the women's groups. Why is that? Where are female legislators? Where is Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren? Oh, they all champion the women. They champion women's rights. And now women are getting a jackboot forced down them to accept men in their locker rooms, men in their sports, and if they complain, they're the ones that are criminally liable. Absolutely outrageous. This will also be a nightmare for male college students. Colleges will have their own kangaroo courts where the accused cannot confront the accuser. So if a man, college student, is accused of rape or any type of sexual impropriety, they do not have a chance to confront the accuser. They don't have a jury trial. It's going to be university bureaucrats deciding if they are innocent or guilty. And if decided guilty, they'll be expelled from the school, ruin their reputation, and they have no recourse. What happened to the Fourth Amendment? What happened to equal justice, due process? These things are all thrown out the window. In other words, just believe all women, regardless of what they say. Anybody that's accused deserves a fair trial, deserves to be heard, confront their accuser, and have presumption of innocence until proven guilty. What this is going to do is presume guilty, and if the men can somehow prove their innocence, then they're exonerated. But that's very hard to do. No witnesses, he said, she said. These are always tough cases. But if the presumption is that the man is automatically guilty, horrible. Men are not going to want to be around women. Dating will become a thing of the past, or else it will involve cameras, everything on video, consent forms. Gee, I want to give you a kiss. Can you please sign this consent form? How romantic. And that's going to ruin normal social interactions. And then we wonder why young adults are not dating, they're not marrying, they're not having kids. We're going to have a demographic decline, and this is a large part of it. Not only can people not afford to have children, but it's going to create such a hostile environment that guys are going to be afraid to go out on dates or get near women. These Title IX changes, which are set to take place beginning in August, are not being well received by the states. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis already said his state will not comply with these changes. He rejects Biden's attempt to rewrite Title IX. We will not comply and we will fight back. He is not going to let Joe Biden try to inject men into women's activities, he said. We are not going to let Joe Biden undermine the rights of parents, and we are not going to let Biden abuse his constitutional authority to try to impose those policies on us here in Florida. Shameful. Other states will push back as well. Oklahoma is also instructing schools to ignore Biden's Title IX changes pending legal challenges. Of course, there'll be legal challenges. This is going to be a windfall for the lawyers. The corrupt Department of Justice will be suing the states. This will eventually go to the Supreme Court. And given the makeup of the Supreme Court, who knows how they will rule? this is going to be an absolute mess. And who suffers? Women suffer, men suffer. Anybody that's playing by the rules, that knows what their sex is, what their gender is, and are trying to live as American culture has dictated for hundreds of years, and how societies have functioned over the years. If you try to do that, you're going to be the bad guy. All to cater to a very small segment of the population, the transgender population. Other states are going to fight this too. So far, Louisiana, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Florida pushing back. And I would think twice about sending your kids to schools, either boys or girls going to colleges in the states that are going to enforce this, because their life will be a living hell. The boys will be presumed guilty if any girl accuses them of anything, and the women athletes are going to have to compete against men. A very unfair playing field. It's not what girls should be subject to. This is outrageous. It really is. You have girls that practice their sport for years and years, and then a man or boy competes that has a clear physical advantage, and they win the medals, they win the events, the races, they set the records, win the championships, and the women are just told, oh, too bad. It's all for fairness, all for diversity, equity, inclusion, all these sanctimonious buzzwords that do nothing but hurt the women and hurt actually the men too. Why not leave well enough alone? There's enough problems with Title IX that they're tweaking it, making it worse, and it's our kids that are going to suffer, and anybody that wants to use a locker room. Be careful, women, if you go to a gym that allows men in your locker rooms. It's not going to be a pleasant experience. So let's unpack more of this after the break, getting into how this is working in sports and other activities.
Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus and strengthen recall. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited-time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back, guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back to Unleash the Political News Hour. This is Dr. Brian Chundeff. I am substituting for Dr. Ted Noel, and I'm very happy you could join me for his podcast. I did an intro on travel just because I was talking about Dr. Ted being on vacation and doing some traveling, and that was a nice segue into some of my recent travels. That's an important hobby of mine, and has really been fun and something I want to continue doing. And I highly recommend it. If you have the means, the time, the interest, it's great to get out of the U.S. and see the world, particularly the places that are considered off limits. Get all the articles and podcasts and pertinent news, always the uncensored truth from a team of truth seekers who always put God and country first. So let's dig into my main topic of transgender athletes. If you remember, if you're my age or older, maybe even a little younger, you remember during the Reagan years, First Lady Nancy Reagan's initiative against drug abuse and her Just Say No campaign. And that became a popular slogan. Kind of simple, but also effective. I'm not really sure how much it affected illicit drug use. It's controversial. Some studies said it went down, some said not. But the premise was pretty basic. If you're presented with an option, a bad option, which can be harmful to you or to others, rather than trying to rationalize it or come up with excuses or you're a victim or whatnot, just say no. Just don't do it. That's the easiest way to combat any addiction. Yeah, easier said than done. If it was that easy, then people wouldn't be addicted to alcohol, to drugs, to spending money, to sex, to pornography, to you name it, all the compulsions and addictions out there. But the basic premise is to just say no. If you can just say no and not do it, you'll be far better off. Just say no isn't working now, obviously. We have 100,000 annual drug overdoses in America. People are dying from fentanyl left and right. Not too many people are saying no. I think too many people are saying yes. But when it comes to transgender athletes, that may be one of the solutions. And the reason I'm thinking of the Just Say No campaign, there was an article in the Daily Mail recently about a group of West Virginia middle school students who just said no to a biologic male attempting to compete against a group of girls in the shot put. Well, shot put is probably not a super popular activity for teenage or preteen girls, but this was a good example where being a biologic male could have a huge advantage. The issue was a West Virginia transgender athlete won her shot put competition in her first sporting event following an appeals court ruling that allowed her to participate. Other contestants, the biologic girls, refused to compete against her. So this is a 13-year-old girl. Her name is Becky. She competed in a middle school, high school, no, basically a middle school track and field championship. And somehow the court, and I don't have much faith in the court these days. If you're following the lawfare against former President Trump, you know that the courts are as corrupt as can be. But an appeals court ruled that a ban on transgender athletes violated the teen's rights under Title IX. And I'll talk a little bit about Title IX. It actually, letting them compete violates Title IX, not preventing them from competing. Anyhow, 13-year-old Becky took first place in the shot put competition. She putted the shot 32 feet, 3 feet further than the second place girl. Now, if Becky wasn't competing, now Becky is biologically a male, so let's get that clear. But if Becky wasn't competing, then one of the biologic girls would have won first place. And whoever was in second place would have been first, whoever was in third place would have been second, and so on. So despite being legally allowed to compete because the court said she could, some of the athletes protested and refused to participate. In other words, they just said no. Five girls from the middle school stepped up to the circle for their turn and then refused to put the shot. I think that's how you say it. I'd prefer to say throw the ball, but any shot put aficionados will have my head for that. So the shot is the cannonball, and putting it is the act of, I won't say throwing, but projecting it into the air to land as far as possible from the starting point. Interesting sport. I had a little bit of experience with that, probably at that age in middle school, and we had gym class and participated in stuff, and we quickly figured out what we were good at or not good at. I wasn't much good at long jumping, high jumping, sprinting, any of that stuff. So I was, well, I'm a doctor now, so I was kind of a nerd throughout school, although I was a college rower for 4 years and varsity athlete in college. But at that age, I wasn't much of an athlete, and the shot put as a tall, skinny kid, not my thing. So I know a little bit about it. So you could argue that this transgender girl was only 13 years old. And in kids, gender differences, sex differences are minimal. You see little kids, boys and girls, playing soccer together, t-ball, running, whatever. There's not much of a difference. It's not until puberty kicks in. That's when the changes happen. When do boys go through puberty? According to the Cleveland Clinic, for boys, puberty begins sometime between the ages of 9 and 14, meaning that this 13-year-old boy who is identifying as a girl is well into puberty. And puberty is the big issue with these athletes. According to the International Olympic Committee, the concept is pretty simple. Studies have shown that people who have undergone male puberty retain significant advantages in power and strength, even after taking medication to suppress their testosterone levels. Well, taking the medication doesn't apply to the 13-year-old, but the 25-year-old weightlifter, there was an example in New Zealand, a place I used to live, where a man was competing against a woman and, of course, beating the woman. Well, they can take medication to lower their testosterone levels, but that doesn't really matter. The point is, puberty is when boys differentiate from girls through muscle and bone mass, strength and power. Once the athletic engine is built, adult testosterone levels really don't matter all that much. In other words, the engine of a Lamborghini versus the engine of a Toyota Corolla, they're built very differently. And at some point, it doesn't matter what gasoline you put in, what octane you put in, the Lamborghini will go a lot faster because it's a lot more powerful than the Toyota Corolla. It's the engine. And puberty builds the male engine. And what you do afterwards, yeah, if you block testosterone and the levels go down for a year or whatever the requirement is to allow these transgenders to compete, they're still far more powerful, far stronger. And in shot put, men and women obviously don't compete against each other in the Olympics. And I looked up shot put. What is Olympic shot put all about? It's not one of the popular sports that everybody can't wait to watch. Everyone watches the gymnastics, the 100-yard sprint and track, swimming events, etc. Shot put is probably shown on a Tuesday afternoon, not evening prime time. Men start by putting a heavier shot. I looked this up. For men, it's 16 pounds. For women, it's about 9 pounds, almost a twofold difference. And even with that difference, men output the women, if I'm using the term correctly. Again, this is putting a shot is, it's got me tongue-tied, very confusing. So I hope I'm saying it right. If I'm not, accept my apologies. In the 2020 Olympics, the gold medal put distance for men was 23 meters. For women, it was 20 meters. That's a significant difference, especially given the fact that the men The shot that the men use is almost twice as heavy, 16 pounds versus about 9 pounds. That's why men don't compete against women in sports like that. There are other examples. I looked up and for an article I wrote previously about track and field. If you look at any Olympic event, say the 100 meter sprint, 200 meter sprint, 400 meter. If you look at the event, for example, in the men's event, there may be 80 something competitors competing in the Olympics, 80 to 90, whatever the number is. Same for swimming. And initially they have heats, and they'll have as many heats as they need to. 8 athletes to a heat, and maybe the top 3 or 4 advance, and then they have more heats, and then semifinals, and they whittle down to the finals. So, assuming 80 entrants, only 3 will be on the medal stand. But they all have a time. They ran a time in the heat, and the men do the same as the women. The women will have a bunch of entries as well. And I looked this up once, and in the men's, whatever it is, 100 meter, 200 meter, it all follows a similar pattern. Every single one of the men, except for the last 2 or 3, the bottom 2 or 3 with the slowest times out of 80 participants, all of the other men, their time in the heats or whatever their best race was, would win a gold medal against the women competing in the same event. So any of those men could claim to be a woman, and very easily compete against the women and win a gold medal walking away. When you get to the top male athletes that are in the finals, it's no contest. So that's why they don't compete against each other. You look at golf. If any of you are golfers out there, you go to a golf course, you have men's tees and women's tees. I play from the men's tees. The way I play golf, I'd rather play from the women's tees. It would make the game a whole lot easier. You wouldn't have trouble clearing the water, and your score would be a bit better. But women's tees can be 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 yards down the course, shortening the hole for them. Why? Because women don't hit the ball as far, particularly amateur golfers. Some of the professional women hit it pretty darn far, but certainly not as far as Rory McIlroy and John Rahm and the professional men that outdrive them by probably at least 50 yards. That's why the difference in tees to even things up. So just because a man claims to be a woman, it's not a level playing field, and they can't do that. If you remember back in the news a few years ago, there was a swimmer named Leah Thomas. So it's an interesting story. University of Pennsylvania swimmer. This was probably before COVID. There was a male swimmer. His name was Will Thomas. He was on the men's swim team at Penn. Penn is not a swimming powerhouse, but it's a major university and they have some decent swimmers, but he was what you'd call an unremarkable member of the men's swim team. Like a lot of college athletes, they make the team. That's a pretty good achievement, but they're not winning records. They're not going to be Ivy League champion, NCAA champion, future Olympian. They're just on the team, and that's what he was. Well, COVID hit, and that meant that athletics ground to a halt, as did most of life. And during his hiatus, his year off, Will became Leah, and he joined the Penn women's swim team. Well, as a male swimmer, he was mediocre at best. But as a woman swimmer, he was winning races, smashing records. He set records at Penn. He set Ivy League records. He went from a backbencher to an all-star Ivy League champion swimmer. Set Ivy League records and won an NCAA swimming championship. So, what I ask is, how is that fair to the women that Leah beat? Women who have been training in their sports for years only to be denied a championship, a medal, a record by having to compete against a guy. It's simply not fair. And that's when all of this started. And Riley Gaines, who's a former Olympic swimmer, her father was an Olympic swimmer, has really spoken out on this. And my question is, why don't these women just say no? Imagine if there's a swimming race and you have a biologic male that's competing, and the seven real women just refuse to compete and just don't get on the starting blocks. And when the starting gun or whistle goes off, Leah's the only one that goes in the water. And Leah swims, and Leah obviously will win because Leah has no competition. But the girls, why don't they take a stand? I think that would be the quickest way to end this, because it would be comical. And the sports commentators would have no way to explain around it. I mean, they'd say the women are sexist. Well, that's rich. You're going to call women misogynists. I don't think that'll fly. But that would be the quickest way to end something like this. So, again, let's go back to Title IX. Title IX is from a few decades ago, and what the actual statute says: no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. Well, that's a mouthful, as are most government decrees, but a couple takeaways from that. Anything the feds give money to, they have their fingers in and they control. So congrats to a college like Hillsdale College, which doesn't take money from the feds, and they do what they want. They don't have to follow affirmative action guidelines, whatever diversity quotas, et cetera, including Title IX. Since they don't take federal money, they can run their school as they choose, and kudos to them. I wish more schools did that. But it says no person on the basis of sex shall be excluded from participation or subject to discrimination. Well, I contend that, unlike the judge's ruling where the trans shot putter, the boy who now claims to be a girl, is being denied the benefits, I say the girls are being denied the benefit because, on the basis of sex, these girls are being discriminated against by not being able to win, because you're putting somebody who doesn't belong there competing against them. The boy should be in the boys' event, the girl in the girls' event. And that comes down to probably semantics. Well, what is sex? The simplest way of determining one's sex is to pull down your pants and look in the mirror. It's pretty clear. For every human, it's a binary choice. Boy or girl, man or woman. Yeah, there are exceptions, but the exceptions are actually quite rare. It's not 5-10% of the population that thinks they're born into the wrong body. That really doesn't fly. Or if you don't like common sense definition of pull down your pants, look in the mirror, ask Yale University School of Medicine. How do they define it? They say the term sex should be used as a classification, generally as male or female, according to the reproductive organs and functions that derive from the chromosomal complement. In other words, check the chromosomes. XX is female, XY is male. And that's the other simpler way to handle all of the sports, the Olympics, college, professional, you name it. It would be expensive, but everybody get tested. You do a chromosomal test. If you have two X chromosomes, you're competing in the women category. If you have an XY chromosome, you're competing in the men category. Regardless of what you identify as, what your school counselor thinks you are, what your psychologist thinks you are, what your parents want you to be. That's what you are. That's reality. Anything else is really just magical thinking, believing you are not what you really are. Like a kid believing they're a superhero. Yeah, that's fine up to a point. But with maturity and development of a brain and a frontal lobe, that type of magical thinking should go away. But unfortunately, it doesn't. So aside from sex testing like that, the female athletes could just say no. And it's great that these five West Virginia middle school girls put their foot down, put the shot down, and didn't compete. It's really going to make these competitions meaningless if there's only one person competing. I suspect at these schools, it's uncommon to have a transgender woman compete. But let them win it. Let them compete all by themselves and the others just boycott it and go away. Or perhaps sue. Maybe the women that are being discriminated against should file their own suits under Title IX, because clearly Title IX discriminates against them. Interestingly, it's not just sports, it's other sports organizations. I'll give you a few examples. You may have heard of Les Mills. It's an international fitness company founded in Auckland, New Zealand. They provide online workouts. They were very popular during COVID because all the health clubs closed, because if you went and worked out, you're going to die of COVID, which obviously was not the case, but that was the magical thinking of the day. So the health clubs closed and online programs, people could do these workouts at home in the parking lot somewhere else. And they had a press release where they were referring to women as anyone with ovaries. What happened to common language? What happened to women, girls? Now it's people with ovaries, people with a uterus, people who can become pregnant. Why don't they just say women? Common sense. Again, this is magical thinking. Calling somebody a person that has a uterus, that's foolish. You can have these trans women like Caitlyn Jenner, Dylan Mulvaney, the swimmer Leah Thomas. They don't have ovaries. They don't have a uterus. They won't go through menopause. They're biologic males regardless of what they identify. And thinking anything else, no, that just doesn't make sense. And it's, again, magical thinking. And it's not only these fitness organizations. There was a story not too long ago about an elementary school in Vermont, and they're teaching fifth graders about puberty. When I was in fifth grade, that was sort of the birds and the bees. That's what it was called. Now that's probably offensive to animal rights activists, so we have to change the name. The school sent a letter to students' families saying, in an effort to align our curriculum with our equity policy, another buzzword, teachers will be using gender inclusive, another buzzword, language throughout this unit. So common sense puberty instruction involves discussing the differences between boys and girls and how their bodies change due to the hormonal surges of early teenage years. Boys and girls by any other name are still boys and girls, to paraphrase Shakespeare. But in this school in Vermont, they're discouraged to use terms like boy, girl, male, and female, and replace them with person who produces sperm, person who produces egg. How about that? We're going to take a short break and then be back momentarily.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart.
is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Welcome back to Unleash the Political News Hour on America Out Loud Radio. This is Brian Jundeff substituting for Ted Noel on his weekly podcast, and we are talking about transgenders. For the latest health resources and product innovations that may well enhance your life, and to get special discounts, visit the America Out Loud family website and use the code OUTLOUD. Back to transgenders. I was just talking about the school in Vermont that doesn't like terms such as boy, girl, male, and female, and wants to replace them with language such as person who produces sperm for guys, person who produces eggs for gals. Remember Shakespeare wrote in Hamlet, quote, brevity is the soul of wit? Well, this is certainly not in the line of brevity, and certainly won't go well in the medical world. In a hospital or medical facility, patient comes in, they're admitted. Doctors use a lot of abbreviations. The chart note may start with 65YO, meaning year old, and then WF or BF for white female, black female, black male, Hispanic male, etc. A very quick way of identifying who the patient is, how old they are, their sex, and their ethnicity, because there are diseases that are more prevalent in certain ethnic groups, and obviously diseases that are more prevalent in males versus females, or you can't see in the wrong gender. For example, somebody comes in with an acute abdomen, meaning sudden abdominal pain. And if you have to look at a chart, if a doctor looks at a chart and has to read person who produces sperm, person who produces eggs, somebody comes in that looks like a guy, but they are a person who produces eggs, to me that would be confusing. How about just telling me it's a woman, and then I can think of things like a ovarian cyst, an ectopic pregnancy, things like that, that you're not going to see in a man. It's important to make those distinctions. In good medical care, you want to keep things like that simple. Continuing in the medical world, JAMA, or the Journal of the American Medical Association, one of the very prestigious medical journals in the world, recently published a research letter kind of stating the obvious about males and females. The title of the letter was a very innocuous sounding, quote, prostate cancer and transgender women in the Veterans Affairs Health System 2000 to 2022, end quote. Doesn't sound like much. It's a good study spanning 22 years, but it's also a surprise that transgender veterans were much of a thing. Now, 24 years ago, there was Corporal Max Klinger, the cross-dressing medic in the movie and TV series MASH, but I didn't think transgenders were a big thing 20 years ago. But the first sentence of the letter is quite interesting. It said transgender women retain their prostate even after gender affirmation surgery and thus remain at risk of prostate cancer. Well, isn't that kind of obvious? Just because a man claims to be a woman, biologically, he's still a man. And unless these items are surgically removed, things like prostate, testicles, penis, etc., men are going to have those. And if they have those, they're at risk of cancer of those particular organs. Similarly, a man or a woman that now says she's a man, if she has ovaries, fallopian tube, uterus, cervix, guess what? She is still at risk of cancers in those organs. To have a medical paper stating the obvious to me seems kind of foolish. And in this study, there were 10 cases of prostate cancer in transgender women. Well, so what? These are biologic males. And of course, prostate cancer affects 1 out of 8 men. So why is there any surprise that transgender women would have prostate cancer? But this is what the smart set in the medical world is tripping over. Rather than curing cancer, they're reporting the obvious that biologic men can get prostate cancer. Well, I don't know that we really need a scientific research paper for that. The reality is we're all born either male with an X and Y chromosome or female with 2X chromosomes. And everything beyond that is simply window dressing, ignoring the reality of what is, not one wants it to be. This is magical thinking, and playing into this, I believe, is dangerous. We don't indulge anorexic individuals by agreeing with them that they are too overweight and letting them continue to starve themselves to death. This is delusional thinking and needs psychological treatment and help, counseling, whatever, to have these people understand and face reality. It's more than just a lifestyle choice. And what's this connection with reality? That's the basis of psychosis. If you ask the National Institute of Mental Health, which is a seeming authority on mental health issues, this is their definition, and I quote, "Psychosis refers to a collection of symptoms that affects the mind, where there has been some loss of contact with reality." So I contend that a male believing themselves to be female or vice versa is loss of contact with reality. In terms of adults, if they want to believe they are other than how they were born, that's fine. It's really not hurting anybody. The big problem is children. Children are vulnerable. Teenage years are tumultuous. As any of you who have had teenagers, we've all been teenagers. It's a time of confusion, crazy thinking, extreme thinking, paranoia, the run of emotions. Puberty, aside from building the body, the engine of power, strength, it also messes with the mind, and teenagers can really be crazy. I had 3 kids, and they were all crazy as teenagers, and eventually they outgrow it and become nice, pleasant, rational, sane human beings. But puberty's a tough time, and to indulge that and support that type of magical thinking and encourage kids, teenagers, to make life-altering decisions and life-altering surgery, I think is horrific. I think it's child abuse, and to let kids sexually mutilate themselves, take sex hormones, these things have lifelong consequences. These kids that after a few years, if they change their mind, they're not going to fit in anywhere. They're no longer male. They're no longer female. They're in some quasi state in between. They can't have normal sexual life, experience normal sexual function, orgasm, reproduction, etc. It's going to be much more difficult. And letting a teenager make a decision like that, I think, is very reckless. And there'll be a reckoning with this. I think someday society will look back and say, how did we allow this? How did we do this? Why did we do this to our kids? Let's go back to some examples from actual sports. Let's look at the 2021 Olympic trials. In the 100-meter run, the winning time for men was 9.8 seconds compared to 10.8 seconds for women, a full second or about 10% slower. Similar results in swimming. 200-meter breaststroke, as an example. The men's winning time was 2 minutes, 8 seconds compared to 2 minutes, 21 seconds for women. 14-second difference, again, 10% slower. In other words, if men and women competed equally in these sports, the Olympic team would be virtually all male. Because, as I mentioned earlier, even some of the slowest men's qualifying times posted by those nowhere near reaching the finals, much less the medal stand, would easily be Olympic medal times for women. Weightlifting's much the same. I have some data on the 2016 Rio Olympics. So let's look at 75 kilogram women. These are pretty strong women. The winning lift, the Olympic lift, is now combining the snatch and the clean and jerk. The winning lift for 75 kilogram women was 307 kilograms. For men in approximately the same weight class, the winning total was 379 kilograms, 23% more. That just doesn't make sense. And athletes have weighed in on these issues. They're not happy. I'm sure many of you remember former Olympic decathlon champion Bruce Jenner. Bruce is now Caitlyn Jenner. And Bruce, Caitlyn, has strong opinions being on both sides of the controversy. So what does Caitlin say? It's a question of fairness. That's why I oppose biological boys who are trans competing in girls' sports in school. It just isn't fair, and we have to protect girls' sports in our school. That would make sense. If I believe Caitlin, Bruce are golfers, and I wonder where Caitlin plays from when playing at Los Angeles Country Club or the Riviera or wherever he, she plays from these days, playing from the men's tee or the women's tee. Bruce Jenner is up there in age, but was at one time the best athlete in the world. And I'm sure he can hit the golf ball quite well and quite far. Does he play in the women's championship at his country club or the men's? Which tees does he use? Again, it's about common sense and fairness. Tennis legend Martina Navratilova also agrees. What she said about this is that it's insane and it's cheating. I am happy to address a transgender woman in whatever form she prefers, but I would not be happy to compete against her. It just would not be fair. And these are not fringe opinions from right-wing fanatics. Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, is transgendered, and Navratilova is a lesbian. They're both strong supporters of the LGBT community, but they're also supporters of athletic fairness. And that's something that's really lost on the uber woke left. And they're doing a great disservice to women and girls. And it's not just sport in terms of who wins and who loses. That's one thing. Nobody's going to get hurt with that. It's grossly unfair, especially to women athletes who have been training. My daughter was a swimmer. One of my sons was a swimmer. They trained for hours a day, early morning practices, swimming from 5 to 7 a.m. and then go to school and then swim in the afternoon. That's a huge sacrifice. And to have a chance to win a championship, win a medal, go to the state competition, go to the Olympic trials, etc., and to have somebody beat them unfairly because they're biologically a male, that's not right. What about sports where women can get hurt? Think of boxing. USA Boxing is allowing biologic men to compete against female boxers after introducing their transgender policy. What happens when a stronger trans woman kills or maims a real woman in the boxing ring? Well, could that happen? It did happen. There was a transgender fighter named Fallon Fox who broke her opponent's skull in an MMA fight. So that's a man identifying as a woman competing in MMA. Grossly unfair. The men are faster, stronger, more powerful, and to have them compete against women, utterly not fair. What I'd like to know are, where are the women's rights groups? Where is the National Organization of Women? The National Organization of Women is all about racial justice, and they used to be about women's rights. They used to support feminism, equal rights for women. That's great. But where are they now? Now they are abandoning women. They've said very little about this transgender controversy and allowing men to compete against women. And it's disgraceful. These organizations should be defending women, as should female politicians. Where's AOC? Where is Nancy Pelosi? Where is Elizabeth Warren? Where is Kamala Harris? Why aren't they screaming from the rooftops about how unfair this is, that biologic men are competing against women, beating them, and even potentially hurting them, depending on the sport? The silence is deafening. There should be a huge outcry over this, and the feminists and women's advocates are all silent. How do they not have a problem with this? Remember when the Pink Hat Brigade marched in protest after Donald Trump was elected? Why are they not marching to protest this mockery of women's sports? This is ridiculous. And the silence is creating a mockery of women's sports. It's grossly unfair to women and girl athletes. They've sacrificed endless hours in practice to reach the pinnacle of their sport, only to have a man claiming to be a woman snatching their victories, championships, medals away from them under false pretenses. Really under magical thinking is what I would call it. Where is the media on this? ESPN, all about sports. They honored this University of Pennsylvania swimmer, Leah Thomas, during their, quote, Celebrating Women's History Month. Well, Leah's not a woman. Leah's a guy that identifies as a woman. The White House also gave a Woman of Courage Award to a biologic male. And even in the Biden administration, you have the assistant HHS secretary, formerly Richard or Dick Levine, is now Rachel Levine, wearing a dress, identifying as a woman, and USAA named Levine as its Woman of the Year. I mean, that's just comical, makes no sense, but here we are. Very unfortunate. Anyhow, thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed my podcast discussing travel and transgenderism, two very different topics. They both begin with T, but that's about it. This is Dr. Brian Joondeff, subbing for Dr. Ted Noel. Let's unleash the truth. Thank you for joining me. See you next week.